Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Well, you're listening to the Following On podcast from Talk Sport 2 in partnership with the ECB. I'm John Norman, and today joined by former England internationals Gareth Batty and Mark Pryor to look back at what turned out to be a good day for England on day one of the first test against the West Indies in Antigua. Certainly didn't look like it was going to end England's way. In the early stages, with England getting off to the worst possible start, the new look England at top order suffering very familiar same old problems.
That's straighter. That's taken on the pad by Roach. He really wants that one, LBW. He's got it.
Seals is in.
Oh, that's an inside edge. It is brilliantly taken by Josh De Silva.
Oh, and that's very, very close. Oh, it's out.
Here is Holder. Edge gone. Taken at second slip.
Debutant Alex Lees, Zach Crawley, Joe Root and Dan Lawrence all falling cheaply. England reduced to 48 for 4 before Ben Stokes and Johnny Bairstow rallied against the West Indies to take them to 115 for 5 before a 99-run partnership between Bairstow and Ben Foulkes, England's current and past wicketkeepers, putting England in a much healthier position.
Short, wide. And that has been crunched away by Johnny Bairstow. Foulkes comes down the ground. Oh, that's a beautiful shot.
Here is Alzari Joseph. Short and pulled away by Johnny Bairstow in bang. Four runs through mid-wicket. Lovely shot.
Foulkes fell for 42 to leave England on 214 for 6. But the day was dominated by Bairstow, who continued his rich vein of form with his second 100 in his last three innings.
Brathwaite in once again, and it's
swept powerfully by Johnny Bairstow behind square on the leg side, and he leaps in the air to celebrate his eighth Test 100.
Plenty to discuss over the next 15 minutes or so. You're listening to Following On. Well, the covers coming on at the Sir Vivian Richards Stadium, North Sound, Antigua. I'm alongside Gareth Batty and Matt Pryor. We've been commentating on TalkSport 2 throughout the day. Bats, I'll start with you. It was there were some familiar failings at the top of England's top order. And whilst the pencils were being sharpened, it must be said, some terrific new ball bowling as well.
Yeah, they started well, the West Indians, led by Kemar Roach and Holder and Seals. They were good. They just hit fuller lengths. They swung the ball both ways. They were prepared to be driven, and they got the wickets on the back of that. You would suggest Crawley and Lawrence both just looking to push out in front of the body, play in front of themselves. Lees caught on the crease. Fine piece of bowling from Roach. And then Joe Root, just one of those things. You know, it's a fine margin between leaving it, you know, perfect and it just clipping the top of off. So you wouldn't be too worried about the route dismissal, but the drives, you're just saying, come on, it's outside the eye line. You're just pushing a little bit on what looks like a new ball surface. Very easy to say in hindsight, but possibly just got to make the bowlers come to you a little bit more.
Yeah, was it inexperienced, Matt? I mean, if you look at the players that were out on the drive, you know, Zach Crawley,
I know he's the senior partner alongside the debutant Lease, but you know he hasn't played a lot of cricket for England. Back in the side again after a relatively successful Ashes, relatively. Dan Lawrence as well, you know, he's back at number four for the first time. Even Stokes was caught actually in a similar position. Not so much inexperience from him, but you know, can you afford the England batsman that credit, for want of a better word?
Look, Lees was done, let's be honest, with just good bowling. Kemar Roach, from around the wicket, was swinging the ball away from him towards the slips, and I think it was 18, 19 balls that just went away, and then that was the first one that he came back in. And that's something that Lees will have to learn over time. So, yeah, you can put that one down to inexperience and good bowling from an experienced Kemar Roach.
I tell you what, I'll just break away, Matt. Let's cross to the middle where Johnny Bairstow is speaking with Samuel Badri.
A few tours over here. It's an amazing place to come and obviously to score a century in any test match, but especially here with the travelling fans that haven't been able to come for a couple of years. We're very fortunate to have them and, yeah, what an occasion. It's really great fun playing over here.
England in a spot of bother when you came to the crease 48 for four, partnerships with Stokes, Folks and then Wokes. What was that message that you guys shared during that period?
Oh, look, we've spoken about partnerships and how crucial it can be, not just up at the top of the order, but all the way through. And if we can continue that tomorrow, I think it's really important. Like you mentioned, there was three big partnerships there through the middle of the innings, and they were crucial. And hopefully that's going to be those vital partnerships throughout the game.
Conditions out in the middle, you made it look easy, but I'm sure it wasn't.
Look, I think there's still plenty in it. That far end could be interesting over the next day or so. I think you might have quite enjoyed bowling on there, give it tomorrow or the day after. But look, we'll have to see how it is again in the morning. That's obviously had a full day of wind and sunshine on it. So, look, we re-evaluate in the morning, see if we can bat well again in that morning session and see where we are.
Yeah, 268 for six. Is there a score in the back of your mind that you think England should aim for?
As many as possible. That's going to be the key. Just try and get as many as we can in this first innings. We're fortunate in this game. We've got some strong batters still to come. And then, look, when we do come to bowl, it's about being patient. About being patient, applying ourselves, because it's going to be a bit attritional. But like I say, if we can bat well tomorrow morning into the afternoon, then hopefully we'll go from there.
Excellent batting once again from you, Johnny. Congratulations.
Cheers. Thanks ever so much.
Tell you what, Matt Pryor, he's a lot happier there than when he got that century in Gaul, wasn't he? He looks actually, you know, he looks like he knows he's got a chance here. He's got the backing of the team. Number six is back and just kind of looks like a bloke that's not kind of looking over his shoulder in the same way that he has done at times within that side.
Yeah, I think he's spot on. He looks happy. Every other time he scored 100, it's almost like proving a point. You know, he's had to prove everyone wrong. And this time around, he's sort of, yeah, I've got the support of the players. I've walked here in six. I've not got the gloves, but I'm okay with that. And off he went, scored a brilliant 100. I mean, he should be happy. He played beautifully. England were in real, real trouble. They needed a senior player to stand up.
Let's hear from Kemar Roach, who bowled beautifully at times today.
I guess we lost it a little bit after lunch and probably after tea, but I still, 6 wickets on a day, on a pretty flat pitch, I think we're still happy with that.
123 runs scored in that final session, just the one wicket. Are there any things that you could have done differently, perhaps?
Yeah, obviously be a little tighter, obviously tighter lines, tighter lengths, be more consistent. But obviously tiring in the last session of the day, pretty hot day as well. So, you know, all in all, I would just say the even day for us.
And looking forward, projecting to tomorrow's day's play, what would be the plan? I know you guys will have to go and assimilate and come up with those plans, but what do you think would be the plan for tomorrow?
Obviously, be more consistent. Obviously, get the wickets as early as possible and let the batsmen go out there and do the job. I think it's a very good pitch to bat on. And once the guys get in, I think we'll do a fantastic job of getting a lead in this game.
Thanks very much, Kemar. Go
sure.
Well.
Thank you.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds.
Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That was Kamar Roach talking with Samuel Badri. Going back to the Johnny Bairstow point, Matt, and then I want to talk to you about what Kamar just said about whether you agree that's as flat a pitch as he was suggesting there. But yeah, Johnny, you know, smiling after the century today, but hopefully he will feel he's got a run here.
Yeah, he's another player and he needs a run now. You know, you've got to make a few decisions here, and one of them is best they're going to play firstly. Is he going to play as a batter keeper? And if he's only going to play as a batter, where's he going to bat? Now, they put him in at six. You know, a few people saying, bit unfair, he's the more experienced player than Lawrence. Should Besto actually have played at four and give the younger guy the opportunity to bat at six instead of, you know, his Besto being protected? I don't really see that, to be honest. But look, they've made their call. He's gone out, he's reacted to it, he scored 100. Right, let him play now. Let's just keep Johnny Besto batting at six. I think it was Macker or Manners who said, oh, will he be pushing for the gloves now? And I'm going, no, please not. Let's not do that one again. Folks has got the gloves. Leave him there. He looked really good with the bat as well. But let's just give Johnny Besto a bit of time, settled and stable within this team.
There was more swing. The stats will show that there was more swing. And West Indies did exploit it well. You were talking about the fact that there were two or three batsmen caught on the drive early on. But what Stokes, when he was in, Bairstow and Folkes showed once again is if you can just get through, put the drive away for an hour, just get through and conditions will ease. And England will be very thankful to Bairstow because they have recovered from that horrendous start. But Bairstow had a couple of dicey moments. He was given out incorrectly. He did edge one over the slips. But it's just proof. Just see off the new ball. And the game will come back your way.
Yeah, it definitely will. And you know, you always need a bit of luck. You need a slice. If you're going to score big runs, you always need a slice of luck, a few things to go your way. But the thing about Test cricket now is everyone immediately goes, oh, the run rate. Everyone looks at run rate. Oh, they're only scoring two and over. They're only scoring 2.2. Well, that's the reality. When the ball's hard and it's going around, you're not going to score runs. But England scored 123 runs in the last session of the day. That's where you make it up. If you've earned the right, you earn the right in the front half of the day to then go and have that 65 to 80 over period where the ball's doing nothing, it's old, the bowlers are tired. Then you kind of get through the 80 to 85. And, you know, when the new ball comes, yes, it might, at the end of the day, yes, it might do a bit, it might swing, but the bowlers are tired, the pitch is flatter. You can also, the ball can come on quite nicely and you can score runs like it did today.
Bats, how do you see that pitch deteriorating? Do you think it I mean, Kamar Roach is saying it was a flat one today. Is it going to start offering a little bit more to the bowler as it goes on?
I certainly don't see it as out and out flat. I feel like the ball did a decent amount for the first sort of 30 to 40 overs of the innings at the early part of the day. As soon as the new ball was taken, we saw Searle that Seals there, he got it just something. He did Johnny Bairstow, who was 100 not out on the inside edge, and takes quite a lot really to be doing a guy who's set, played so well, in a good frame of mind, moving well, to do them on the inside edge. I still feel like there's a bit in that pitch. The one thing you would say, there was a period from about 55 overs right through to new ball where you're saying it's a bit turgid, and West Indies for periods did it very well. They set mid on and mid off nice and straight and a little bit deep. They bring extra cover, maybe straight mid wicket, a little bit straighter and in a fraction just in case you skimmed one off the face and you kept a slip, two slips, trying not to get hit square of the wicket and just dry the game up. The one thing England have possibly over the West Indies, we got Mark Wood who can bowl with some extreme pace. We can change the pace of the game. And without being disrespectful to the West Indian spinner, I do think Jack Leach will come into the game a little bit. The wind has been picking up. You could hear it on the stump mic a little bit at the end there. You just feel like there's some decent wear and tear. There's some nice chewing up of certainly one end of the pitch, and you just feel like the spin can sort of hold from one end and take wickets, and you can mix up your seamers from the other.
And as a fellow Surrey man, your thoughts on Ben Foulkes back in the side after an extended period out. It was unfortunate to miss out against New Zealand last summer because of a freak injury in the changing room. But he came in at a good time in terms of what the ball was doing, but a difficult time in terms of the pressure on him. He had to succeed. One of the things that did impress me about him was that he didn't get stuck. His strike rate was up there. And actually, in a weird way, he didn't rely on Johnny Bairstow to take the pressure off him. They seemed to take the pressure off each other.
Yeah, he's done a lot of work on how he can open up different scoring options, how he can neutralise his balance so he can afford himself to not just be reliant on sort of down the ground and leg side. He's opened up that offside ability to play. He shut it down at times today because there was some danger sort of associated with playing outside the eye line. I think he's in as good a place as you'll ever see a guy coming back into a team. I think he's very confident in the work he's been doing, and I think he's at peace with his game, and I feel like that puts you in the best possible position. In the end, he got a pretty good ball that just shot a little bit and trapped him in front. All in all, you would have said that that's a very nice little sort of cameo back into the team, and you feel like he'll grow from that.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much, Bats. And last word from you, Matt. In terms of a score that England will feel is a good one, I suppose. Not a good score from when they were 48 for 4, but all in all, from what you've seen today, where would you see that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with Kemar Roach and what he said. I think there is a bit in this wicket. I think that's maybe a bit of, you know, trying to support his bowlers who probably know they didn't perform at their best. It'll all depend on how England starts tomorrow, of course. But right now, they will be looking at 350 minimum, I'd suggest. And if they can get to that point, I think they're well in the game here.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, coverage on Talk Sport 2 will get underway at 1:30 on Wednesday with the first ball of the day taking place at 2 p.m. Our team will consist of the like of Gareth Baddie and Matt Pryor, Jarrod Kimber, Neil Manthorpe, Andrew McKenna, Mark Butcher, Steve Harmison and Samuel Badri. I'm pleased to say I'm joined for the last few minutes of the show by Georgie Heath, who's going to be keeping TalkSport listeners updated and informed and entertained throughout the evening as England hopefully get their campaign in New Zealand off to a start after that. Oh, well, it was so close, wasn't it? I mean, it was ridiculous, Georgie.
Honestly, I think I'm still recovering. It was one of those moments I was like, oh, this would be so easy to write a match report. Like, as much as Australia looked like they were going to win, no one wanted that. I was like, it's fine, straightforward. Then topsy-turvy, backwards and forwards. I honestly didn't know what to do. And then I spent the rest of the day sort of sat in this sort of stupor, being like, we could have so done that. You know, we were so nearly there.
Well, that was it. That's ever... came so close. And you're absolutely right. The last thing you want when you're up all night watching a game of cricket is not knowing what your top line is going to be for the report you're writing for the Daily Telegraph. But look, we'll let you do your reports throughout the night on West Indies, England. The listeners will know the score by the time they listen to the podcast. But you've been at Lord's today. It's
yes.
International Women's Day, of course. Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to.
Oh, it was amazing. So obviously it's 2 years to the day since that moment at that day at the MCG, the 80,000 watching the women's T20 World Cup final, which was sort of the last massive event before everything went into shutdown. So it was nice to sort of come around 2 years later to celebrate the women's game. And it was a massive exhibition and symposium of the women's game and how far it's come and how far there still is for it to go, and celebration of the 100 and everything that's happened through that. But then some amazing talks about the history of the women's game, and even just things about how they used to have to fundraise. They went around selling chocolates from Thornton's at one point to get themselves on tour, to travel on a bus and then a boat and just everything. And then they were playing in these, they had to play in skirts and stockings, and they weren't allowed to wear trousers. It was just some of the history of it is just stuff you don't think about, and it's just hilarious. The last thing you want to do is dive around in a skirt. Think of the grass burns.
Well, that is very much what I'm thinking about, diving around in a skirt. But so that was today. And you put together something for us, which will be aired during the lunch break on day three.
Yes.
I must admit, at one point today, I wasn't sure if the game would go to day three.
But I did think that. I was sort of, don't tell the women's cricket fans, but I was slyly watching the score in the background. But yeah, it was just amazing to look at. And they've got a new exhibition at Lord's of so much women's cricket memorabilia. And some of the stuff there is just incredible. And to see that and to think about the events that have happened there, like that historic 2017 sellout Lord's, England beat India in that final, is just amazing. That is such a moment for so many girls and boys in the sport, for something that they really remember. And there was a girl there I met today that I've only ever spoken to on Twitter before. And she was like, I was there. And that just really locked down cricket for me as something that I loved, and that's what you want to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a moment the other day, actually, because my son is five. I took him to his first football game on Saturday, and obviously he kind of he associates cricket with my work, which of course, why wouldn't he? But I've taken him to watch a bit of cricket in New Zealand and also here in England. But what I found quite interesting, and I think this is key really to women's cricket being very visible, is that the cricket was on. It was the England Australia game, actually. No, it wasn't. It was West Indies New Zealand, which was a ridiculous game. And I was watching it at home, and he just started watching it. And it didn't matter to him whether it was men or women's cricket. It was just cricket. And that essentially is the point. And he will grow up with women's cricket on the TV, and it'll be as normal to him as it is, as it should be. And do you know what? This won't even be a conversation in about 10 years, will it?
Yeah, it's so fab. And I think something like the 100 also was so good for that last year. You turn up for those double headers, which obviously originally weren't meant to be double headers.
Yeah,
so
got a bit lucky there, didn't it?
It was sort of a COVID silver lining in that one. And you found more and more people were turning up earlier to watch the women's games too. And then it just became that one franchise, male or female, you supported your team. And that's what you want to see. And then we just got to work a little bit on the prize money for women and the salaries for women, but we're getting there. It's all moving in such a good direction from the days of selling Thorntons
skirts,
on the street.
Skirts
and chocolates. That's
skirts and scuff knees.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, it's just been amazing. And, like, they had Amara Carr was there today from London Spirit, and obviously Sunrisers as well. And she was talking about the change of sea scene and the more domestic contracts and what that's done for the professionalisation of the domestic game. We're going to have the Rachel Hayhoe-Flint final at Lord's at the end of September, which is going to be mega.
I'm going to have to stop you there because you've got to get downstairs to do your reports, because your match is starting in about 3 minutes' time. The second day of the first test match, all three tests on TalkSport 2, of course, gets underway on TalkSport 2 at 1:30, first ball at 2 p.m. It just about ended up being England's day. 48 for 4 at one stage, but thanks to a magnificent century from Johnny Bairstow, England just about ahead on day one. Bairstow and Woke still at the crease. They'll be there tomorrow as England finish the day 268 for 6 on TalkSport 2.
Roach goes in and Lee squeezes this out, backward a point, he's underway, England are underway with a boundary. That's straighter, that's taken on the pad by Roach, he really wants that one, LBW, he's got it! Seals is in, oh that's an inside edge and it's brilliantly taken by Josh De Silva. Well, it's the same problems all over again, they're 17 for 2.
New team, same problem. Oh, and that's very, very close, oh it's out, that's bowled him. That is an absolute jaffer from Kemar Roach. Joe Root can barely believe it, but he is gone. And England are three down for 27.
Here is Holder. Edge gone. Taken at second slip. Jason Holder has the wicket. Dan Lawrence is on his way. And I'm afraid the rebuild, as modest as it was, is over.
Well, the rebuild was probably four course bricks high, and it's just blown over. Seals goes in, and Johnny Bairstow pulls that around to the leg side. That's brilliantly timed.
Short, wide. And that has been crunched away by Johnny Bairstow.
Yeah, good shot.
Stokes. Oh, that's short and pulled away with some might. That's a beautiful shot. And an emphatic four for Ben Stokes.
Yeah, there's definitely a calmness about this partnership. Don't want to put the mockers on it.
115 for four. Jaden Seals in.
Bowled him! He's got through. It looked like a half volley. But it swung in and it snipped the inside edge onto the leg stump for four. And he's gone. Stokes has gone for 36. And suddenly England's rebuild is over and they're back in deep trouble. at 115 for five. Roach in, lovely drive again by Folks.
That one is flicked away behind square on the leg side. That's a lovely shot from Ben Folks.
I can certainly say that Ben works as hard as anybody, if not more.
Bouncy yes. action, short and wide, and Bairstow is in no mood to miss out on that gift.
Johnny Bairstow brings up a half century, an excellent half century under these circumstances.
Folks comes down the ground. Oh, that's a beautiful shot. What a beautiful stroke that is.
To finish the over, Seals is in. That's a short arm pull from Folks. That was a great shot from Johnny Bairstow. Oh, there's a big appeal for leg before wicket. Up goes the finger. Think he might review that, but it kept a bit low, and I don't think it looks good for Ben Folks at all.
In back in line. Wickets hit in.
Here is Alzari Joseph.
Short and pulled away by Johnny Bairstow in emphatic fashion. Little short arm pull, bang, four runs through mid wicket. Lovely shot.
Oh, what a shot.
Brathwaite in once again, and it's swept powerfully by Johnny Bairstow behind square on the leg side,
and he leaps in the air to celebrate his eighth Test 100. He's loving it.
So here we go then. Final ball of the day. Seals goes in, and Chris Wokes stays in line, plays it back down the pitch, past the stumps at the non-striker's end. Marks his guard one more time, and the umpire calls time for the day, and it's the end of the first day of this three-match series, and it's one that England, well, they started badly, but they've ended it in really, really good shape.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.